offspring. This is a top-notch setup right here, okay? That is our click track to sync the audio with the video if we ever put it on YouTube. I don't know if you've ever seen something that professional before.
Are you wearing a hat because
I'm blown
you're
away.
Wearing hats? Is that why you're wearing a hat?
No, I'm just wearing the hat because I love it and because you're wearing hats.
Okay. We keep a tradition of wearing hats. I don't know why, but we wear hats.
Yeah, I got the best hat in the lot, though. This is the Subway Series World Series hat from 2000.
Definitely not the best hat.
Mets versus the Yankees. What are you going to say? It's better than guitar? Not better than Guitar Education?
Guitar Education's better. It's my baby. Look, boom! I even got the shirt.
Yeah, gratuitous merch. Like,
what the hell do you even do? Do you educate people on something associated with guitar? I don't understand.
I teach guitars. I sit there with the guitars and I teach them how to read, write.
Okay. Read and write. Yeah. Okay. Write with your guitar. Okay, Joe. Let's get it going. Who are we? What are we doing? Huh?
So I'm Joe, and
I'm Ben.
And we are
the Titans of.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Who's our guest?
So today we got Brandon on, Brandon Williams. He's got his own podcast, which is a
piece of shit.
Is that what it's called? Because that would be amazing. If it was Brandon Williams, piece of shit. Sign me up.
It's currently called The Power of Curiosity, but I think I'm going to change the name of it to Rolling Burning Dumpster Fire Podcast.
Okay. No, that sounds amazing.
What's the web address you just shared? Because I can't talk on Facebook. I've been banned. But I saw you shared damn, my new website is ready. What is your website?
I have a brand new website. It's absolutely glorious. It's www.onestupidfuck.com. And that's my website, dude.
Is there any play on words? Is it just O-N-E? Or
yeah,
is it
O-N-E.
W-O-N?
Oh, okay. Nope. O-N-E-stupidfuck.com.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful.
Or if you spelt it like J-U-A-N, one stupid fuck.
Nope. It's just straight up onestupidfuck.com. Yeah.
Okay. And what can one find? What could I find on this website?
You can find, I've written two books and I have an entire breakdown of the theory of what it means and how to become a state national.
Okay. Which if say I'm an idiot, what does that mean? What is a state national?
So this is a very long subject. So basically people normally think that they're U.S. citizens, right? But
right.
when you dig down and you find out what U.S. citizen really means, U.S. citizen basically means that a person is a volunteer employee of the federal government. So there's actually a more simplified version of status, political status, governmental status of a person who lives in America. It's called a state national, and it's somebody who is not a federal citizen, such as a U.S. citizen, but they are a state citizen. So you guys would be state citizens, not citizens, but you'd be state nationals of the state in which you reside. And when you do that, and when you update your status as a state national, there's a lot of amazing benefits that come with that. So that's basically what my website's all about. On top of my two books that I've written one book on marketing and sales and another one on love, sex, and romance and how it relates to the laws of physics.
How the appropriate atoms connecting can...
Love is a battery.
Right? Yeah, it's called Love is a Battery. Yeah, it's basically compares...
That's awesome.
...the operations of love and sex and seduction and everything else to the operations of a battery, such as... positive and negative terminals, energy flow, magnetism. It's all the same operation as the way a battery is built and as the way a battery exchanges.
You know, I think I remember hearing something about this. Joe was telling me about that. It's how he ended up with a second kid. he was reading it with Stacy and they had a connection.
Is. I love it. That's how it is. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone that reads my book, either their long-term relationship explodes and they get out of it. And then I find out secretly they've been wanting to get out of it forever. And they didn't know how until they read my book, or they're in a relationship very rapidly after they read the book. So
it's okay. So that being said, if someone comes to you and says that, do you take offense to that? That they're using your book as like kind of a scapegoat, like, oh, you know, I read your book and this is what I did because of that. I've always wanted to do it, but your book got me there. Like, it makes me feel like they didn't get the general message of the book by reading it. They're just like, oh, well, you know, that's the perfect reason for me to stop being in this relationship.
No, that's not really what they say. It's actually pretty fucked. Like, the people who call me are usually more like, I've been in this fucked up relationship that I've been wanting to get out of for X amount of years. And like, I've been extremely depressed and it's been getting worse and worse and worse. And now I'm becoming an alcoholic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And your book finally gave me the balls to actually do something about it. And they're usually going through the process of finally breaking up with the person. And they're going through absolute fucking hell during that process. Mm-hmm. And that's usually when they call me.
It's like a how-to guide in a sense too. Do you have sections of self-help in there?
Not really. It's mainly just the theory of how the laws of physics apply directly to love, sex, and romance. It's basically just how can a person better understand like the basic idea, the basic premise, and the basic operating physics behind what's going on. It's not necessarily a how-to. There's a little bit of that in there in certain mm-hmm. areas, but no, it's mainly more like the first name I was going to give the book was like, I didn't want to make it exclusive to men, but it's definitely more like men are reading it. I wanted to originally call it A Nerd's Guide to Women. Okay. That was going to be the original title. But then I realized like, it's not just about a male to female type of interaction. It goes both ways. And that's why I changed the title to Love is a Battery.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not trying to take over everything. And I mean, both ways, you say both ways and Joe smiles. I love it. Like no matter how old this dude gets, you say dick and he's ready to go.
Yeah. But fuck yeah, dude.
It's just beautiful. It's beautiful, but it's making, and I'm not biased in any way. Like it's making me want to read it just for the fact that the subject matter sounds very interesting. And I mean, the title, I kind of like the title you went with versus the one that you were initially going with. But yeah, I like it. That sounds awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's been a long time in the making. And my website is absolutely hilarious. I enjoy self-deprecating humor very, very much. So obviously onestupidfuck.com. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but the whole website is absolutely gut-wrenchingly hilarious. You guys will love it. If you haven't seen it, Joe, you gotta check it out. You're gonna be fucking dead.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it because I had to go on Facebook for something, and then I'm not allowed to talk on Facebook or do anything.
Yeah, Joe's not allowed to do anything on Facebook. He's banned again.
Well, but he's always banned.
Spell out the address, and then I'll make sure that we put a link up with the episode.
Yeah, onestupid. FUCK.com.
And if you guys can't find it, you guys are one stupid fuck. I mean, you made it idiot proof. And if they still ask the question, because Joe and I have the weirdest fan base, like all one of our fans, like are dumb as shit. So, you know, we have to spell stuff out like that. We have to spell stuff out like that. We once had a guy who got into an argument with Joe on YouTube about my 8-year-old at the time loving Megalodon sharks. And he's like, well, she's not a professional. Why the fuck would you have her on here talking about something she doesn't obviously know anything about? And Joe's like, dude, she's 8. And she just likes the idea that shark still exists. And he went on for like 5 days arguing with this guy about it.
Oh my God, dude. That sounds like Joe. That sounds like Joe. Totally.
Well, I mean,
Joe could be in the middle of like a fucking desert. He could be in like Siberia walking along. And it's like, negative, you know, 40 degrees Celsius, and all of a sudden some fucking person will come through the snowstorm and start arguing about something, and he'll stand there for days arguing with that motherfucker. That's Joe.
There was a part in my life where I thought Joe was going to end up on a 10 speed with a name placard in a white shirt. That's how like committed he is to certain things.
I know.
But, you know, thank God he didn't end up with a white shirt living in Utah.
Yeah.
Why'd you do the Hawaiian thing? What the hell does that have to do?
The Hawaiian thing.
The aloha, bro. What does that have to do with Mormons?
Isn't that like word? No, I'm not a Mormon. I would never become a Mormon.
Dude, that's what I was talking about. 10-speed bicycle with a helmet, white shirt.
The 10-speed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the Church of Latter-day Saints?
Yes. Have you never?
I've been to those churches before too. When I was a kid, we went to one.
LDS, man.
Yeah.
I remember one time the LDS came to my house in California, and I opened the door and they're like, "Hey, we want to talk to you about, you know, the word of God and blah blah." And I go, "You know what? I just want to like tell you guys something." I'm like, "You guys have like big fucking balls coming up here and knocking on my fucking door." And they look at each other and they're kind of like looking at me, and I'm like, I just want to fucking like do like high five, man. And I like high fived them both. I'm like, you guys are fucking like fearless, man. And they had no clue what to say and shit. And I was like, you guys are dope, man. Like
should I tell the story, Joe?
Which
of
one?
The Christian militia?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right. So in high school, Joe and I used to do a lot of substances, and we used to try to expand our brains. Right. So they came knocking one day, and I was like, you know what? Instead of telling them to go fuck themselves, let's invite them in. So we invited them in. We had them in there, and we had a whole crew of people. We were just trying to make them as uncomfortable as possible. And these guys really thought that they were hooking us. So, you know, I'll make it an abridged version. We set up this thing where we're like, you know, if you come down to the park, because we used to hang out this place called Marine Park, you know, we'll have a big convention and you can talk to all of our friends at the same time. So one of our buddies went and on one of those old dot matrix printers used about 24 sheets of paper and made a pentagram on the old dot matrix printer and put it out in the middle of the, yeah,
the
it was
top.
So
on the
red top,
which was like this, it was like the slab of concrete painted red in the middle of the park. And we would just hang
God.
Out there. Yeah,
and we set it up in the middle, like we made a circle around it. We, you know, we invited them into the middle and like locked arms and stuff like that. And they're on top of the pentagram and there's nowhere else for them to go. And we brought our friends that were gay. We brought our friends that were straight. We brought our friends that were questionable, black, white, Spanish. Like it didn't matter. We brought every single freak that we knew into this situation. And after about an hour got them running because they finally like started swinging and got out of the circle and ran as fast as they could. But I like making those guys uncomfortable. Like I'll invite them in. Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't care, come on in and tell me about your God. I'm excited.
Okay, so who remembers the Spawn movie? Gotta remember
with
that.
John Leguizamo. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so
hey, yeah, Spawn's great.
The soundtrack had a song by this band called Orbital with Kirk Hammett playing on it. It was called Satan. That was the name of the song. And I had my CD player drummed up to the intro of the song because it would just go Satan, Satan, Satan right in the beginning. And I had it right by my front door because I knew on Sundays around 10 a.m., Jehovah Witnesses would knock on my door. So right around, I got the thing on pause. All I have to do is hit play the second that, you know, so, and then it'll start playing. So it's just sitting there for like an hour, like just ready to go, right? And then I hear, and I go, you got to look through the people because this is the ghetto, right? This is the project. People will just shoot you. You know, if you open up the door to the wrong person, you get stabbed or something. You know? So I open up the little peephole. Well, you got to open up the peephole and make sure a shot doesn't go through, right? This is really how my life was. So you go, wait a second, and then you look, right? And then I saw like these two like older like black women. I go, oh, that's probably the Jehovah Witnesses. And I'm like, what's up? And they're like, oh, we want to talk to you about Jesus. So I opened up the door. I go, click, click. and I hit the button, and I open up the door, and they just hear Satan, 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 like right in there, right in the face. And they're like, we have to go. And they just turned around and walked away.
Are you talking about Kirk Hammett from that band Exodus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kirk Hammett, the guitar player from Exodus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a good band. He did something else with another band afterwards. I don't know too much about that one.
Dude, but... Exodus, man. They were good.
Yeah. Toxic Waltz.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That was good. They how never did, came to my door again, by the way. That was the last time they came.
So... the way I met this fucktard was we both had detention one day in high school, and we both skipped detention to go out back and smoke. And then we started talking about The Simpsons, and carry the 22 years later, we're still friends. How did you meet him?
How did we meet?
You moved into my house.
Oh, that's right.
I let you move into my house.
Just oh, rando. He was we just a rando. A like I need a place to live.
Story.
Yeah, yeah, we got.
Oh
a great story.
Man, I completely forgot about that.
Don't forget the garage.
Cleaning oh garage my god! Yeah, couches. And buying you cigarettes with all the couches and shit that I sold and all the random ass shit that I found in there.
The condoms.
Oh man.
He's like, yo, who's this chick?
Wait, you bought cigarettes using selling used condoms?
When you say it like that,
I went to the sperm bank. I had a bunch of used condoms. I'm just kidding.
Were they at least Camels? Like, were they quality cigarettes, or were they like Merit?
Like, no, they were quality, man. We went down to the fucking Quick Stop, man. No joke.
Oh yeah, we went there, and then the sword fights.
Oh, we got that video is still one of those videos is still on YouTube to this day. The one that yeah. we
wait
did
you
in the
you
garage.
You guys yeah. have a video of you two crossing swords?
Yeah.
Was there at least a woman there?
Sadly, no.
No.
Sadly, no.
Okay. All right. I'm not gonna watch. But
no girls were down for that.
It was a Highlander moment, though. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was like shot on one of those like the original smartphones. Those a piece of shit smartphones from like 2010 or whatever.
Dude, there's a TikTok where this guy is in Florida and he records everything on his flip phone when he's eating food. He's like, oh, man, only in Florida, man. I got it on my flip phone. Like, it's so awesome. But anyway, I want to hear this story.
Oh, man, where do I start? So I moved out to New York. I just kind of like randomly moved out there and I needed a place to stay. And then
from California?
Where did I come from? I came from.
I don't remember.
I came from. It's kind of a long story. I was in California. Then I moved to Florida. Then I met this girl on the plane when I was going from California to Florida, who I really liked, and she was fun. Then we kind of went on some dates in Florida, and then I didn't talk to her for 4 months and got rid of my phone. Then I got a new phone. Then I called her up randomly. I had a piece of paper with her phone number in some bag, and I called her up and said, hey, I know you. I hardly know you, but damn, I like you. I want to go to Chicago and I want to live with you. Are you down for me to fly to Chicago and live with you? And she's like, yeah, fuck it. I'll pick you up at the airport. So I got on a plane and I flew to Chicago and I was living with her. She picked me up at the airport. I was living with her for probably like 3 or 4 months. And shockingly, that didn't work out. And then at that point, I went to New York City. And then I needed a place to stay, knew some friends. And, ended up meeting Joe. And so this household that Joe was living in, like, was basically a fucking halfway house. Like everybody was moving in that place turned more bodies than a fucking like hooker's underground fucking den, literally.
Joe and I used to live in a cemetery together.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, really?
Yeah we used to camp in a cemetery. We used to park next to Vince Lombardi's grave and sleep there.
Oh my god!
So you can't surprise me with anything.
That was like three rooms. Like me and Ben, we used to have a house. It was like the front room. Like when you walk in, it'd be like I guess like the living room.
It's a living room slash bedroom.
Which was his bedroom. Then the next room, which was I guess
a dining room slash bedroom,
and which was my bedroom, and then a kitchen with a bathroom. That was it. That was the whole house.
Wow.
You want to talk about halfway house? At least that place had a garage. You know, it was kind of nice.
So where was this halfway house? Where were you living?
North Bergen, New Jersey. It was off of 74th, I think. Was it 74th?
74th Street, yeah. North Bergen.
74th Street, yeah.
Okay.
74th off of what's that main road along the water? We took the bus. What's it? West, Northwest.
JFK Boulevard.
Is that JFK Boulevard, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like something west, like west. You have Bergen Line, and then what's on the other side? The one that you take the bus.
JFK.
It's JFK?
Yeah,
oh, what the fuck? It's not called JFK West or something like that. It's just called JFK.
I think it was called. Well, it depends on which way you're going. One way was east, and one way was west.
Oh.
Even though they're north and south.
Fuck, I have no idea.
Connecting the dots.
So Joe offers me his fucking couch, like somewhat begrudgingly, and I go, look, you know, he had this garage that was just filled. And I mean, when I say filled, I mean literally almost to the ceiling, like three quarters of the way. There was a little walkway that had been like made. It was like Moses parting the Red fucking Sea, literally, of shit everywhere.
The first day he meets you, he offers you his couch?
Yeah, basically.
Did you put out?
No. So basically I said I would clean this garage in exchange for living there. And Joe was like, yeah, good luck with that. You're going to get lost down there and die. And we're not going to find the body for 20 years.
Full disclosure, though, when I moved into the place, the garage was already like that.
Okay. But whose stuff did he sell?
We don't know.
So of course Joe's like, yeah, you could sell whatever you want, get rid of it. It wasn't even fucking his.
Oh, dude, I found a TV, an N64. There was three couches down there. No one even knew was there. There was so much shit. I found rollerblades. I found you guys knew there was a whole arcade system down there.
Like I didn't know about that. Someone knew about that. I didn't know about that. I found out who the rollerblades belonged to because it was belonged to a girl and she flipped out and cried about it. And then she actually got someone else in trouble for it.
So she blames somebody else for the sales that he made?
Yeah.
Okay.
We told her the truth about it too. It's not like we lied.
Well, I was basically homeless. So you can't bring the hammer down on the homeless guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, that's wrong.
Okay, so you're living in Joe's crack house. Keep going.
So I was living in Joe's couch, and I took all the shit that was down there, and I sold it. And I remember one time I was walking down the street, like all these CDs in this giant like bin, right? And I'm walking down the street, and some creepy ass dude comes out of nowhere, opens this fucking door on the side of this building. Hey, what are you doing with all those CDs? I'm like, I don't know. I'm gonna find a place to sell them. He's like, I'll buy them off you. I was like, all right. He's like, I'll give you $40 right now. I'm like, fucking $40, dude. I'm like, sold. And I took the $40 and I went to Quick Stop and I bought, I think it was two packs of Marlboro Reds. And I came back and I said, Joe, I've got cigarettes for you. And he was shocked. He was shocked. And it took me about a week. I think I worked on that garage like 8 or 9 hours a day for like 7, 8, 9 days straight.
Yeah, it was insane.
And by the end, dude, it was like this fucking ultra dope, like man cave from God. it was like an arcade game, TV, N64, full TV setup, workbench, like every single little tiny object in the entire garage, even if it was like a little screw that I had found in a corner somewhere, was in like a fucking little toolbox, like organized.
Yeah, that's
a crack house.
Awesome.
It was like you could I think you guys ended up renting that out to Alex because it was so nice. They ended up renting out the space to somebody because it was so fucking nice. But
yeah, Alex slept in there. But there was no heat, so he couldn't really sleep in there in the wintertime.
Oh, he. Yeah, I was like, Alex? I didn't know Alex lived with you. All right, never mind.
No different Alex.
I think I think there was a space heater though down there, wasn't there? Like a big box space heater?
It didn't work well enough.
Oh.
We tried it, it was just too cold. So we had him come back up on the couch upstairs.
Dude, Joe and I used to sit and fucking watch Wonder Chosen or play music.
God. Yeah,
that was our big thing. Wonder Chosen and play
were
music.
You there when the cops came?
Of course.
Oh yeah, yeah, you were.
Of
there.
Course.
Yeah, the people upstairs. There were people that lived upstairs with us, and they had kids running around. Boom, 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 boom. And we're talking like fucking 11 o'clock at night. Like, why are your kids up at 11 o'clock at night running around? Not just like being awake, but running around and playing, like boom, 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 and people are trying to sleep. So I went up.
I know it sounds very realistic to Ben that Joe would be getting in altercations with people around him that are upsetting him. I know that's a very foreign idea, so just try to stay with us, okay, Ben?
Dude, we can tell you stories for days of like Jägermeister and us playing Army Commandos against the cops in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Oh my god.
Because we thought that they were Charlie. We were ready to go. You know, I didn't have a bazooka, but I sure as shit had one of those water jugs from a doctor's office, and I was firing away.
The unrestrained days.
Joe would get into a fight with anybody. Joe would sleep anywhere, too.
To this day. I try not to anymore, but still it happens.
He's becoming an older, gentler Joe.
No, he's not.
He's becoming an angrier, more bitter Joe.
When he tried to tell me that I didn't know what I was talking about regarding the heating in the house.
Which got into a story. Do you know that he's keeping stuff from his kids? Joe doesn't tell his kids anything about his past.
Does not. I mean, first of all, my son is 2 years old. What am I going to tell him? Like, hey, son, listen, you know, when I was 20 years old, you know,
I lived in a crack house.
He'd go,
okay.
He's like, are we going to do the Bubbles? That'd probably be his response.
Yeah, I knew someone named Bubbles too, Joe.
Crack house Bubbles, dude.
Crack house Bubbles.
Okay, so you met him, and in the span of 10 days, you are already best buds, and you made a man cave in his house.
But don't forget about the scooters.
Then I found scooters in the, okay. Then I found these scooters. I found like three of them or four. I think I sold two of them. I was like,
razors?
Sick razors too, right? And do you know that area, Ben? Do you know the North Bergen area really well?
No, not really well. I'm from Central Jersey.
So there's a couple of areas that have like these gigantic, like San Francisco style hills in the road. Just a couple
it's
of
like,
areas.
Like, it's like Staten
but if you
Island,
go over there,
like on the same area, Staten Island.
So, okay. Plus you have Bergen Line up here, and then you have to go it's all downhill to go to JFK. So if you live up closer to Bergen Line, you go on a scooter, you can just roll your ass all the way down the hill, all the way to the bus stop.
By the time you get to the bottom, you'd be going like 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's fucked. And there's there's a couple spots where there's a really, really gnarly drops, like death. Like the kind of shit that 10 years ago, like a kid would you know, go down and on a skateboard and he'd be a UTM sensation kind of roads, right? So we went on those roads. I don't know if you had two trench coats or if I found trench coats in the garage.
I think I had one. No, I think you found them.
So I might have found, I found a lot of, basically our whole life was extracted from this garage, Ben. Basically everything that we knew and everything that we became and our identities were completely extracted from this garage. It was like Treasure Island, literally. It was like buried treasure. Okay, so we find these trench coats, and you had the swords. I didn't find swords down
there. I had swords. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had these swords. I bring the trench coats and cigarettes. He brings the swords. We combine forces. We become Optimus Prime. We decided to transform into Highlander, but we were both Highlander. But we both knew there could only be one, because that's what the Highlander would say. So we would constantly attack each other. We would also, some of the craziest shit we ever did, the most illegal shit we ever did, is we would smuggle the swords into the quick stop and attack each other in the quick stop with swords. But then, you know, we're on these razors and we can go down the hill, so we could just fucking escape super fast on our razors.
Yeah. See, that's the only part of the story that's not plausible. See, I've known Joe for so long, and I've seen him on things made of wheels. Okay, I've seen him on things that are not his feet on the ground. I once took him ice skating, and he did the fucking over the wall into the bench thing that you see in the movies. Like, he is not coordinated enough to not have his feet on the ground. So that's the only part of the story that's not plausible. Do I think you guys had swords in the store? Fuck yeah. Do I think Joe threw a bag of chips in the air and slashed them? Probably. But got away on scooters with a sword and a trench coat? I'd have to see that.
I told you we should have recorded that stuff. We were going to actually make a video of us going down the hill sword fighting on the razors, right?
With a video camera you found in the garage?
Did we record that one video using a video camera that I found in the garage? Is that how we recorded that thing?
No, we recorded that one on my little smartphone that I got.
Oh, Chris, oh, okay.
Chris gave me that smartphone.
I mean, dude, I found shoes in there. I mean, God, I was like, I literally like pulled a whole identity and a half out of that garage, literally. So
that's amazing. Yeah.
We were like kings. We had like $30 in our pockets, cigarettes, scooters, trench coats,
we were living
two fucking couches. I mean, dude, we were like gods on the earth, man. I'm telling you.
How long did this relationship last?
How long was I living there with you, Joe?
Oh, I don't know. That was like what? Like a year or something like that. Maybe a little less.
Was I living on the couch for a year? God damn.
I don't know. It's hard to say because you moved out, and then I moved out of that house. I moved into another place, and I started dating my now wife. But
wait, were you living there when I was living in Staten Island?
No. You were.
No, because you were dating that bitch, and you came and helped me move out of Staten Island, and you brought the fucking sword with you.
Yeah, but that was the crazy girl. That was the crazy
girl. Right. So were you dating the? Were you living there when I was living in Staten Island?
No, this is way after that. You were in Colorado at the time.
Oh.
You were in Colorado.
So you were still, you were done dating Crazy Girl.
Yeah. No, yeah, that was like, that relationship didn't last more than 9 months or something like that.
Is Crazy Girl the one that has all your shit that we were going to create a fake plumbing company to go up there and take it all back?
No. That's somebody else. That's the nasty bitch.
Oh, so there's crazy and there's nasty. There's a couple of them, huh?
No, they're all crazy.
Joe knows how to pick them, huh?
Oh. You should ask him about the wrinkly one.
The wrinkly one?
Yeah. All women are the same age in the dark, aren't they, Joe?
What are you talking about?
The old lady that you dated.
What old lady?
I don't remember her name.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Shit, I can't remember her name.
Dorothy?
That would be the classic. That would be the best name. Oh my gosh, I can't remember. I'll think about it. I'll come back to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know this old lady you're talking about. I only dated. There's only one woman that I dated.
Is her name Gretchen?
That's another old lady.
That is Ingrid.
Ooh, there you go.
Oh, there we go. That's one. Bertha.
I like
you
Gretchen.
Dated young Berthas too, Joe. We know.
Let's see. Uh-huh. No, I don't know. I don't remember who you're talking about. Wait a second. There was. No, I know there was a joke about like the old lady, right? But I never dated this woman. I don't even remember how that whole thing started. I never dated that woman. And then there was some woman that there was some kind of, I don't know, pyramid scheme that I was like going to get involved in briefly. And I saved in my, this is like the Nokia phones. I saved as the lady, and then people went bonkers on it because I forgot what her name was. And I already had someone called the woman in my phone. So I put the lady because I couldn't remember. And that was how I differentiated them. I had the woman who was for something else. I think she was, I don't remember what she was for at all. But then the lady, which was.
They had specific jobs.
Yeah. Like the lady was the pyramid scheme lady.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's see pyramid scheme lady, the lady. Mm-hmm. So that's why I just put the lady. And then the woman, I forget what she was for. It was like.
Had Sugar mama.
I think it was like a storage unit person. I think that's what it was. It was a storage unit, and there was a woman that I had to talk to from there.
Sugarmama.com.
Sugar mama. There
you go. Shit, storage units. You still have my stop sign?
No.
Fuck. I need that back.
You got the mailbox, though.
I do have the mailbox.
So
when Jay Muse comes to Cincinnati Comic-Con, yeah. I'm going to take it down there, and I'm going to tell him what it's from, and I'm going to have him autograph it.
Nice.
Oh, wait, dude, what is this mailbox?
Tell Brandon the story. Tell him about the mailbox and the story. He's going to.
Okay, so I was born and raised in Red Bank, New Jersey.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm a big Kevin Smith fan. So
okay, well, the school that Jason Mewes went to after Henry Hudson was called, was it Collier?
Collier High School. No.
Oh, what the hell was it called?
Wait, it was Collier. Yeah, Collier, because that's over in Tinton Falls.
Yeah. So we were drunk one night and we were walking by the school and someone mentioned this is where Jay Muse went to school. And I'm like, fuck, Jay Muse went here. I was like, I need proof that I've been here. So one of my buddies kicked the mailbox and I was like, wow, this thing is beautiful and white and I just love it. And I was like, I'm going to take it with me. And I just carried the mailbox with me for the rest of the night. And this was 1999, 2000.
Yeah, like
and that. I was just walking all night with the mailbox. And then the other day, Joe and I were doing the podcast and I looked up and the mailbox is sitting above me in my studio. And I've kept it. I can't find half the shit that I've had over the years, but I have my graduation tassel from Red Bank Regional High School and it's hanging on the mailbox from JMU's school.
Dude, you got to get that thing signed, man.
I do. See, I grew up knowing Kevin. Like, I used to work at the pizza place in Rumson that he used to come and get his pizza from. I worked at the convenience store that he used to get his cigarettes at after church every Sunday. Like,
what?
We always just ran into him because I grew up like 5 minutes from the actual Quick Stop. Like, so we used to run into him all the time. Like,
was there an actual Quick Stop?
Yeah, it's real. It's a real place. Yeah. It's in Leonardo.
That's, actually, I got my tattoo at the tattoo parlor right by the Quick Stop.
Yeah, if you look right at there. The Clerks movie, there's the Quick Stop.
And then there's the rental
RST
place.
RST Video.
Yeah.
And then right. Next to RST Video is a tattoo parlor.
That's where
and Joe tattoo got is, that dude. Tattoo there. And that's where I got tattoo. My eyebrow ring, that my eyebrow night. Pierced. Yeah,
yeah
same
he got
day.
His eyebrow pierced the night I got this thing. And yeah.
Holy shit, dude. I would love to go to the Quick Stop, dude. That'd be so dope.
We were supposed to go there when you were
it is the biggest hole in the wall. Like it's hilarious because he somehow made that place look giant, but it's like two aisles, maybe no, it's three aisles, and it is less than probably 15 feet across.
Did they do anything with the Quick Stop after the movie? Or is it just literally
it's still open?
It's just a convenience store? It's just like in the movie? There's nothing going on there? They don't sell any paraphernalia or anything? They don't sell any...
Oh, they do. They have like various things. But he worked there. He worked there during the filming of Clerks. And what it was is he worked all day. And then the reason why the shutters had to be gummed closed is because they were filming at night, but pretending it was daytime. So that's why they made that thing. Like, I guarantee or I assure you we're open is because they had to keep the doors closed because they were filming while the store was closed.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, it's still they were just there in September because they just did Clerks 3 there. So they went back. And
I know.
Actually
I heard
it.
About that. I'm so excited about that.
Clerks 3.
Fuck, dude.
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, dude.
Clerks 2 is probably one of the greatest movies of all time.
It is. Me and one of my friends from Jersey, we quote that movie all the time. Like I'll see him just randomly. I'll be like, there he goes. Homeboy.
No, but this is
Homeboy
actually...
fucked a Martian once. Like I'll just say random stuff from that.
This is just... actually what happened with Brandon and I. So one day, I said something and then, no, I, what did I say? I said something. And then Brandon, we were talking about cigarettes and then Brandon said, a fag's a cigarette, mate.
Oh, that's
said,
right.
And
yeah.
Then I said the other line from the Clerks cartoon, and his eyes just like shot out of his head. He goes, oh my God, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I love the animated series, Clerks the Animated Series. I was a huge fan. I had all the special edition DVD and everything, the DVD set.
One of our good friends growing up, her dad was in the movie industry, and she took me to the set for Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And I was actually at the Quick Stop the day they did the little baby Jay and the baby Silent Bob and the strollers.
Oh,
that whole scene, I was there for that. Sarah Trammell, her dad was in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
And she took me down to that. And that was like one of the highlights. That dude is so cool. Like, I listen to his podcast and I hope one day I can be as articulate as that guy is just without even thinking. Like, Kevin Smith, his whole Smodcast brand is like him, Adam Carolla, Joe Rogan, like those guys really made podcasting what it is today.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's fucking brilliant.
Fucking Kevin Smith, dude.
OneStupidFuck.com.
Yeah. Over here. He's like, oh, as he's like whacking himself off, just talking about Kevin Smith.
Dude, you really think he has that range of movement in that leather jacket? He's in one position, dude.
Bro,
oh shit. Oh shit. No shoulder. Oh, nope.
He's all done now.
He's done.
I'm tuckered out, boys. Tuckered out.
It's like one of those tension workout bands. Like,
well, no. How old are you now, Joe? You're like 39, aren't you? Or 38?
I'm 40.
Oh, shit. He's 40.
Jesus, 40. Fuck. We're getting old, man. How old are you, Ben?
I'll be 40 this year.
Jesus.
Brandon, what
yeah,
you
want to
boys,
talk old?
Boys, what, boys.
37?
I'm 36. I just turned 36. Like, just turned.
Yeah, you know what my doctor told me I need to do when I turn 40 without even a test? She's like, you need to start cholesterol meds. I'm like, is my cholesterol bad? She's like, no, but once you hit 40, that's something that you have to start worrying about. I'm like, fuck, man, I was just 20 the other day.
I know, dude.
Now I'm 40.
Dude, when I first met Brandon, he asked me how old I was, and I told him the wrong age by accident because I couldn't believe I was like, I think I was like, oh, I'm like 24. And I was like 28. I'm like, no, wait, I'm older than that.
I think I was 24 when we met.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. I was like 28, 29.
So how did you get out of the crack house and become a successful two-book author with a fancy website?
Oh, I lived in a lot of fucking crack houses. Let me tell you, that wasn't the only one.
Oh, so you left his for another crack house?
I actually lived in another crack house and then in another crack house. And then, God. So from there, I moved into this other house that had rats and was totally fucked and was right next to the convenience store right by the old crack house, right? And I lived in a room on a air mattress with two other guys. One of the guys was living on a futon that he had bought from walmart.com, and the other guy was sleeping on the box that the futon came in.
I remember that.
I thought you were about to tell me that one guy was sleeping on a futon and the other guy was sleeping on a couch that I sold him.
No,
just been great.
No, I sold him a pair of skates, and you know, I could go on and on. But then from that crack house, I moved into another kind of crack house where I was living sort of in like a kitchen kind of, and there was a drug dealer in the front apartment and I was in the back apartment, and he had people coming in and out of there all day long. And then we had bed bugs, and that was my 4 months of hell that I had with bed bugs. Then I met this girl, because I used to hit on these chicks all the time. I met like probably 15, 25 girls a day in New York.
Where
City,
did you take
stopping them?
Them?
I couldn't take them anywhere.
You can't take them home.
I stayed in hotels like 3 or 4 or 5 times, and that was it. But I had no money. So
okay.
It was fucked. But basically,
let's go to your house.
Yeah, let's go to my house and fucking get eaten by bed bugs and die. You know what I mean? Like, that's fucking hot. How sexy is that shit, right?
Yeah.
But
you just gotta finish before they get you.
and then I met this girl on the street, and she was a fucking dentist, and she was living in this 35th story ultra luxury apartment on the corner of Wall and Water.
Nice.
And I walked in there and I was like, all right, I'm definitely like getting with this girl, and I'm gonna move into this apartment as quickly as possible and get the fuck out of the other apartment. So I went from 3 crack dens back to back. And then before that, I was in LA. I wasn't in like a crack den. I was in like basically like an ultra party house, like a frat house kind of thing. So frat house, 3 crack houses, and then ultra, ultra insane, stupid, fucked, ultra luxury apartment. And then we actually upgraded to a substantially more insane, probably one of the highest end apartment complexes in all of Manhattan. So I always laugh at my past because it's like crack den or like penthouse. Like, there's really nothing in between for me, I guess.
Jesus.
Don't forget the opium den.
Yeah.
So how did you mess that up?
We were together for how long was it, Joe? Two and a half. What was
something
it?
Almost two years. 2 years.
We built this fucking killer dental office together. We were making like fucking hand over fist money. We were making like 40 grand a month profit.
And you couldn't hook Joe up? Have you seen him smile? jacked up teeth. No.
No, where were you at that time when I was living with Fiona at
Well, I was with Stacy. We had that place in Weehawken.
Oh, you had a place in Weehawken. Okay.
Yeah, we had a nice little place with a nice little backyard.
Hmm.
It was quaint. Quaint little spot over there.
I like the adjectives you're choosing. It was nice. It was quaint. It was cute. It was attractive.
That wasn't
like, are you describing Stacy or the fucking house?
There you go.
Both. No.
You're associating the memory with her versus it was probably a shit house.
No, it wasn't bad. It was actually a nice place.
Okay.
It was a nice place. It was small, but it was nice. You can ask her yourself.
No, because she's sleeping.
In fact, well, she's not even here. This is the actual studio.
Oh shit! I forgot you're in a new spot.
Yeah, I'm not even at home.
You have to travel to go to your studio.
Yeah, like 3 minutes. It's 3 minutes from my house.
Oh shit! Do you take a razor over there, or do you take a car?
I take the car. I just step on the gas, hold on the back while riding my razor.
Hell yeah, dude! You got like a string that goes to the fucking pedal.
You know what I do? I Fred Flintstone it. I cut out the bottom, right? Just step on the gas pedal and then drop the razor down. And just...
Dude, don't let him fool you. He just bought a brand new Ford SUV hybrid fuck you vehicle.
No. It's a Ford Escape. It's not hybrid.
Escape.
You just
it's fucking French.
You got a fucking big boy truck now? What is it? Is it a big fucking huge thing?
No, it's not that big. It's an SUV. Type of it's a truck though because I can tow with it, so
you use it to like run people over or what?
Hell yeah, of course.
Fucking love it.
Oh yeah, they say that's points on your license, so the more points you get the better, right?
That's a game. You gotta win the game, you know what I mean?
Your Ben's like all worried. He's like, oh, I don't want to visit you in jail, man.
Oh, at least you know I have visited you. See, this is a sore subject too. In the year since I've moved out of New Jersey, Joe has come to visit me at the states I've lived in exactly zero times.
That's true.
Have you gone to visit Joe?
No, that's not true.
Yes.
I visited you in New York when you lived in Staten Island.
Dude, you fucking work in New York. That does not count.
No, not then. Then I worked in like South Jersey.
You went to your brother's house after. He lived in Staten Island. That does not count.
Okay. All right.
Josephine. Fine. Josephine's getting burned here, huh?
Yes. Joe, how many times have I visited you, not including the funeral?
I can think of one time. We actually did an episode.
Are you mental? Okay. I met you guys in Queens.
Yes.
At LaGuardia.
That's right. But you were there for a different reason, so it doesn't count.
Yeah. I rented a beach house in Jersey on the shore.
That's the one I'm talking about.
I went back for Bear's funeral.
Right.
Which I went back for Christmas.
What Christmas?
The Christmas where we had like the 4 feet of snow.
I don't remember that. When was that?
Christmas? Like, I don't know. Harmony was born. Harmony was only like, it was like 2010.
I don't know. I didn't.
I think five. I think my number is five right now.
But I only saw you two.
Four. You saw me four out of the five. And he's never come to visit me.
Well, the funeral doesn't count. You said.
Okay. Three.
But I did see you that time too. I don't remember the Christmas.
Mm-hmm. But that's the point of the story. Joe doesn't believe in vacations.
I don't really do vacations either, to be honest with you. I think I just never really do them.
Yeah, but okay. I don't do vacations. I mean, I'll take a day off. Like, I take Sundays off. Technically, I actually still work on Sundays, but...
Do you work in an environment that has a corporate structure, or are you self-employed?
Brandon.
Oh, me?
He knows
me. Yeah, I know what Joe does.
Oh,
he's fucking a walking billboard. Joe. No, he's a walking billboard.
Joe, do you do something with guitars and educating people?
He teaches them how to write with a guitar, you know, like origami or whatever that Chinese writing is with the
there you go. I teach guitars how to ride razors down hills while sword fighting.
Okay, perfect. No, do you work in a corporate structure or are you self-employed?
Self-employed.
Okay, so me, I have a use it or lose it situation. I have a month of vacation a year. If I don't take it, I lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, we don't.
So
for us, it's different, right? Because
how many days a week do you work, though, Ben?
One week three, the next week four.
Okay.
So you get a week off.
What? I get a month off a year.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's why I'm taking 2 weeks off. I leave on Wednesday. I won't be back till April.
Wow, what are you gonna do with all that free time?
I'm going to Puerto Rico. What do you mean? What am I gonna do with the free time? I'm gonna hit up the beach and I'm gonna swim.
Man, that's crazy. I don't know. If I took 2 weeks off, I'd have to spend like a month just getting myself back into gear.
Yeah, but dude, you have to realize there was a huge hurricane down there. So it's so cheap to get there. Round trip per person, it was $118, including taxes.
Wow.
Per person.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. You told me that. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
To fly from cheap. I live in Cincinnati now. So to fly from Cincinnati to San Juan, Puerto Rico, round trip per person is $118.
Damn.
Like, that's absurd. I mean, you can't even probably fill up your car in California for $118. No, I have a friend that lives in Orange County, and she posted on Facebook the gas sign of $6.74 or some shit like that in Orange County. I was like, good God.
How much you pay for gas out there?
I saw $6.74 today here in LA. Yeah. I saw $7 at a couple spots. I've seen a little under seven, right around seven so far. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's absurd. Absolutely absurd. Like,
we have a lot of pros and cons here in California. Living here is interesting.
Yeah, the fucking Mexican food is so good.
The Mexican food is really good. The terrain is absolutely gorgeous. The women are to die for, and the weather is like just—I mean, you can go outside all day long. You can ride a motorcycle. I didn't even own a car. I only owned a motorcycle for like 2.5 years.
Do you still own one of the Razor scooters?
No, sadly. But what we did do is we found a couple of. We used to live in this kind of like hick area called Sunland. Mm-hmm. Me and my best friend. We found these bikes. We used to grab all sorts of shit just driving around town. We would see like chairs or tables or couches, and we were like picking up shit all the time. It was hilarious. And I remember one time we found these two bicycles. We took them home and we spray painted them. And the one bicycle was the DUI experience, and the other one was the blackout cruise. And we used to ride around town with these fucking bicycles all the time. So we did do bicycles for a while, but no razors.
OneStupidFuck.com.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about, dude.
It's catchy. It's catchy.
I know, isn't it? Like, I know, isn't it? I know. It's beautiful.
I've never even been on this site, and I already know I want to Google it.
You go on beautiful. Google, it's like, no,
It's a great site. It's brand new. I just launched it like 2 or 3 days ago, so I hope you guys
remember that website back in the day, Hamster Dance, where you used to type it in.
Yeah. There's a bunch of those, though. There's like, I remember Tub Girl or Two Girls, One Cup.
Well, I was thinking you got to buy. You got to buy.
So bad.
Did you actually watch that, Joe?
Fucking no. Matt put it on, not telling me what it was. He goes, oh, you want to see this?
So you watched.
I watched it up until the cup entered the scene. And then once I saw the cup and what was going into the cup, I was like, I'm fucking out. And then Matt narrated it from the other room because I left the room. I was like, I'm not watching this. And he goes, and now they're doing this!
Anyway, you should buy OneStupidDuck.com as well, because it might autocorrect to that and you want it to go to your site.
There you go.
One Stupid Duck.
Just a thought. Because every time I type fuck in my iPhone, it goes duck.
Mine doesn't do that anymore. It used to do that, and I think they got too many complaints. I don't have an iPhone, though. I have an Android.
Mine says Android. Ducking or duck all the time.
Mine used to do that, and then the recent update, it stopped doing that on Android. They probably got too many fucking complaints. Android boys don't put up with that shit. You know what I mean?
I was texting Joe. I was like, you stupid duck. It's fucking annoying.
I'm like...
Time to file a fucking complaint, dude. You just sue fucking iPhone, Apple. over this bullshit?
No.
That's right.
No, I my job's too annoying. I don't have time for that. Oh, I don't have time for frivolous lawsuits that could get me the new iPhone 13, and that's about it. Cost me 10 iPhones.
There you go.
Yeah. So what book is next? What are you going to tackle next?
I'm working on my third book right now, and actually this whole state national thing and all the political stuff and all the status stuff and all that is all part of my research. I didn't realize it was going to be until it happened. The third book's about martyrdom and escapism.
Escapism as in like magic tricks, or escapism as in
the inability to confront?
No, escapism as in like avoiding things in your life by doing something else on purpose, and how all human beings to some degree or another are involved in escapism and they just don't know it. And breaking down the philosophy and background of the subject of escapism.
In a way, they could be considered opposites. Like the martyrdom is somebody that's going for it. Escapism, somebody that's avoiding it. I guess you're trying to tackle the yin and yang of the situation.
No, because they're kind of like brothers or sisters of each other. Martyrdom is like to sacrifice yourself for a cause.
Right.
And then escapism is to sort of like, but the thing is that you're not, you know, martyrdom is almost sort of like a type of escapism in itself, because you're not really, a lot of times martyrdom isn't really effective. It's like, it's just a way of like virtue signaling, basically. It's not really.
What satisfying feeling do you get out of it? Nothing, because until the act is done, you don't, there is no reward in it. So it doesn't.
Exactly. Really,
it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. So breaking all that down, you know, what I see in society and that kind of thing. And just, it's really interesting. And then I kind of stumbled across during my research, I stumbled across all this shit. And then now there's just so much that I've stumbled across in my research that the book's kind of on pause until I get through the research phase, which I thought was going to be done like last year, but it's probably not even going to be done until like next year now at this point.
A lot of research.
Yeah.
Do you have a deadline and a publisher or anything like that, or you're just
doing
your own thing?
No, if you were to see my room, there's just stacks of books everywhere. So no, just my own thing at my own pace. So
fuck, why did you say that? How many dictionaries do you have?
Dictionaries?
Yes.
Fuck, I don't know, dude. Countless.
We got into this conversation last time, where like Ben brought up how I have like 9 dictionaries in my house, right? Like I just sat there and counted them, and then he's like, "Why do you have so many dictionaries?" And I'm like, "Just in case. You never know when you need to find the right definition of a word." And
well, the biggest thing is this: when you start really researching into like what's going on in the world, and you start really researching into like political statuses and the different options people have, and the dark matrix of it all, you realize that it's all based off of legal definitions from Black's Law Dictionary. But Black's Law Dictionary has 11 different versions. And in a court of law, every single version from every single Black's Law Dictionary is just as legal and just as good as another one. So if you use one from revision number 7, and I use one from revision number 2, in a court of law, both definitions have the same weight in court. So, and each dictionary is probably about this big. Like I have to go in my closet and like bring it out here. I can go get it if you want me to get it. It's fucking huge. It's like
a 40 pound
dictionary. Yeah. So I only have one of those, but I have 3 or 4 digital copies. So I have like a lot of digital dictionaries too, but yeah, I just have a few basic dictionaries that I use. I mean, really, when it comes to dictionaries, like the big boys are the Black's Law.
Okay. No, we thought it was interesting. He would look up words, and one from like the 80s had a different definition than one from now. Like it's all open interpretation. Like it doesn't say that one is right or wrong. It's just worded different. Like one of them was a gender identification thing. Like what was the word, Joe, do you remember, where it's like does not identify by a specific gender?
Oh yeah, I forgot what
the
was.
It was the.
No. What? Yeah.
The. It was the.
Yeah.
Or yeah, it was the. That it was word. It was really weird.
The, but the thing about those dictionaries and the words like the and is that they don't actually define it in a way that makes it usable or in like context of like how it's actually being used normally, right? The way they don't define them. What's a good way to explain that?
So an like action definition.
Yeah, like well, for instance, like I used the example of like I think it was the word the. I said like, look, what does the mean? And then the guest we had on was like saying, I don't think you really need to know the definition of that word in order to use it properly. I'm like, well, true, but if I'm saying something and I use that word a certain way, you might miss it of what I'm really meaning. And you know that was
yeah, because Joe's argument was you had to appropriately know the definition of a word to its completion in order to understand completely what is being said.
Well, for example, one of the definitions of the word the is like involving like a single article of possibly multiple articles. So if you say like the favorite coat, if you don't have that particular definition that is one particular article out of a series of articles, you might think something completely different. But like there are particular definitions of particular small common words that are really interesting and unique. And I don't think people realize how many different definitions there are of the small common words and how there are actually a whole bunch of different definitions being used in all different ways all the time. You just kind of don't pick up on it. It's slight shades sometimes, but it can when you start getting into stuff like law, when you start getting into stuff like political status, you know, if you wanted to change your political status or when you're communicating with government entities, these definitions will actually make or break everything that you do or say, literally.
True. Actually, but you as the artist, do you believe that unless you provide the appropriate context clues to the scenario that they'll be able to interpret and get the message that you're trying to put across?
Maybe or maybe not. It depends. And then also you also like for me as an artist, like I try to communicate what I want to communicate in the rawest form possible, as you'll see from my website. So I try to stay away from, I think that worrying about reception as an artist is a very quick, dark road to oblivion. It's the fastest, quickest road to oblivion. It's like your job is not to get retards to be able to figure out what you're trying to say. Your job is to simply say what you're trying to say.
Right. But that's where Joe's argument was being, you know, that's where the argument came, because Joe said you cannot understand what is being said unless you can understand what they're saying. So like, if you don't know the definition of the word the, then how do you know what they're trying to say? And arguing that what you said, if you're trying to get a message across, and as long as somebody gets something out of that message, that's what's most important. If you move somebody in some way, that's what you're going for. You don't need them to necessarily follow your belief structure, just get something positive out of something that you're doing.
Well, I mean, that's a conversation that can go into such great depth, because you can go so far as to say, like, I mean, there are certain artists that might, there are certain artists that might literally like sing in a different language or something. And like, you listen to them and they're just like, what are you doing, Joe?
That's the bell. That's saying that it's almost 10:30.
Oh, it's almost time to go. Well, anyways, real quick. So it's so interesting, because you can have someone say gibberish. Like, okay, you're great, great, great artist.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying to you and why they move so many people, it's got nothing to do with the words. The communication is so much more.
It's the message.
It's the message underneath the words, right? It's the emotion, right? But artists can turn that up or down like a volume switch. So you have two different things. You have symbols and you have emotion, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like your best artists are probably more on the emotional end of the scale. But then you have like symbology. Like, for example, like when I, the first thing I think of would be like Shakespeare. So Shakespeare was like very high on both levels, very high on symbology and very high on emotion, right? Mm-hmm. But nowadays you don't really see that high symbology kind of level. It's mainly just the emotional side of things, right? Because I think people are getting dumber and dumber, and they're less able to even understand the symbology. And I think part of the reason why they're not able to understand the symbology is because they don't take the time to respect and understand the English language. The thing is that you can clear enough definitions of different words where something happens, especially if you start clearing derivations of words and the histories of words. Once you start clearing the derivations of the words and the histories of the words, you start to get this really, really verbose understanding of the English language, to where you can hear a word or a phrase and you can almost intuit the definition of the word. But that doesn't happen overnight. So no, I think that as artists, it's a choice. It's not a responsibility. It's a choice. Do you want to clarify a particular definition of something, or do you not? Do you, you know, it depends. There is no obligation in art. I think obligation is the antithesis of art, personally, because it's like, we have no obligation. We have no obligations as artists. We shouldn't.
No,
have obligations.
And you as an artist also has to be mindful of the fact that if you get into too much detail and define something too much, people are so delicate nowadays, you could offend somebody for some of the stupidest things that you weren't even actually trying to say.
Well, like, I love offending just, people. I'm
talking about the viewpoint of the person either reading the book or listening to the thing. That's the person who has to take on the responsibility of understanding what is being communicated to them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right? And that's the reason for dictionaries, having dictionaries.
But they don't need to know the definition of the word to get the message.
Well, the thing is they may or may not get the message. If they have the definition of the word, they will get the message. If they don't have the definition of the word, they may or may not get the message. That's the whole point. I mean, right.
if they're not smart enough to understand it, then they can go fuck themselves. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, I don't think that you need to go into so much detail to write it in crayon for somebody.
Well, I'll pull out the provolone.
No. But what Joe's saying is, he's saying it's the reader's responsibility, which is what I agree upon.
Right.
He's saying it's the reader's responsibility.
So what did I say? I said the word provolactic in an episode, and Ben was like, what are you talking about? Condoms? Where'd that come from? I'm like, I'm not talking about condoms. I'm talking about provolactics, right? Like, provolactic is like something that you use in order to protect yourself against something happening to you, like a sickness or
something. Yeah, pregnancy. OneStupidFuck.com.
Hell yeah.
That's just one example of a provolactic. Like, if you take 50,000 IUs of vitamin D daily, that would be a provolactic against any kind of sickness, right?
Yeah.
Right. Where were you going? Was that the end of the thought? I thought you were about to go down a road, so yeah, I was waiting for you to keep going.
So I use this word provolactic, you think condoms. But if I'm talking about, let's say I'm talking about cancer, right? And I use the word provolactics, and you're like, wait, you can get cancer from sex? What the hell? I don't get it, right? But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some kind of prophylactic for cancer, right? You'd be confused. You'd be like, what the hell is he talking about? Prophylactics with condoms. And then so
condoms for cancer. Condomsforcancer.com.
Bro.
There you go.
There we go. Condoms for cancer.
So just to recap, Joe says if you wear a condom, you won't get cancer.
No. It's even better. Exactly.
Why you need to own a dictionary. At least one dictionary, one good dictionary. Look, I got a dictionary here. I have two here.
Well, I'll tell you right now, when you start getting into like legalese and tax forms dealing with the government, oh boy, if you're one slight shade of gray of a fucking definition off, you are fucked. You want to talk about definitions, man? I mean, they will string you up and eat you for dinner if you don't use the exact correct definition from the exact volume of Black's Law. So I don't know. I guess that's also part of my life now too. So
here's a great story. This is from, remember Leighton Miller?
Yeah, of course.
So his brother is a lawyer, or was a lawyer. I don't know if he still practices, but Layton told me that very early on, like, he went to his brother's court cases, especially early on, because he wanted to, like, you know, root for him. And he said that there was a court case, and in the court, this is what happened. In the court case, they're, like, talking, whatever, and then his brother goes, "Wait, what do you mean by is?" Right? That was the word he pulled out. He goes, "What do you mean by is?" And then the judge, the other lawyer, and him, they all pull out Black Law dictionaries, and they're going through it, and the judge goes, "Oh, case dismissed." It's like, yeah. Sitting there like, what the? He's like, oh my God, he just.
That's how it is. Yeah, exactly.
The definition of the word is.
That's how it. When you guys hear the, when you guys see these, all these things on the news and shit, where, like, you know, OJ murders 10 people and rapes kids, and then he gets out on an altercation. The word altercation is a euphemism for they found some other definition for something. That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's literally all it is. They challenge the definition of every single word. And if they don't nail it every single time, then the whole case is gone on an altercation. So it's pretty funny, but
that's what they do.
Well, who was it? There was actually a guy, I forget his name. It was like Alexander Hamilton or some shit, who said, like, you know, if you're going to argue with me, you need to define your terms of argument, something like that.
Yeah. So we should have had you on with Squall. You guys could have talked about this, because this guy, who he was our guest, he came on and he talked about how basically how, like, he was forced to read the dictionary as a kid, and that he doesn't see a need to be that involved in definitions of words.
I'd be pissed too if I sat down and had to read a fucking dictionary. I mean,
yeah,
the whole point of a dictionary is that there's some kind of external message that you're trying to understand, and you go to the dictionary as a supplement to something else that you're trying to understand.
Right.
And that's why I believe dictionaries are by definition supplementary fucking materials, aren't they?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was saying. I said, it's more of a tool. You're not studying the dictionary. You're using it to obtain data from something else.
Yeah.
That was what I was saying. Anyway.
Ben's losing it over here. What's going on, yeah, Ben, over here?
He must have looked at your website.
Oh, yeah.
He's on a fucking scooter. Going down a slight incline.
I fucking love it, dude. Yeah, isn't that funny as fuck? I totally forgot about that. I just picked that up out of my thing and posted it, like, yesterday.
Oh my God, we gotta find the Borat swimsuit.
Where did you get these socks, dude? These socks are killer.
Amazon, dude, for like $8, $12.
Oh my God,
for like 10 of them.
That's like the eighth person I heard mention your socks.
They're like orange and yellow and black and pink and white.
People love my socks, dude. Oh, my socks is where it's at.
How many leather jackets do you own?
3 or 4. Yeah, don't fuck around, dude.
No. And this one looks, you know, it's got like the copper coming through, like, looks like it's weathered the storm.
Oh yeah, that's actually my dad's from like the 60s, that one, that black one.
It looks really good quality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not gonna look at the onestupidfuck.com anymore.
Okay, now I'm gonna have to look at it.
Yo, you're going to fucking die.
He's your friend, and you've never been to his website?
No, I just launched this thing like 2 days ago, Ben.
Oh.
Two or three days ago. 3 days ago.
Okay.
Oh, my God. This is great.
All right. Let's find some quotes.
I like how you got it in like the old school typewriter.
I know. Isn't that fun? I thought that was fun. I'm like, I'm gonna go like 1974 on this bitch, dude.
Oh, dude, brilliant. Favorite movies include Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and American Beauty.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Send me a fucking message.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, like, in my mind, is one of the greatest fucking movies ever.
Oh, dude,
Anybody that's like, oh, well, Jim Carrey wasn't even funny in that movie. Like, he was fucking brilliant in that
movie. Oh, dude. Absolutely fucking brilliant. Absolutely. It reminds me of Red State when Kevin Smith did a suspense film. Remember
John Goodman.
That was a great fucking movie. And then you think, like, oh, God, Kevin Smith's doing a suspense film. I was kind of, like, a little iffy on it when I went into it. And then I watched it and I was like, this is fantastic. Fantastic. Brilliant. Yeah. Fucking these guys, brilliant. You know, they challenge themselves. You know what I mean? They're like, all right, I got this down. You know what I mean? Like comedy for Kevin Smith or Jim Carrey. And they say, you know what? I want to go outside of my zone and see what's up. And then when they do that, you know, and they succeed, mm-hmm. I fucking love that shit.
And then American Beauty, like one of the first movies to ever mind fuck me so far. Oh, yeah.
Dude, me too. Oh, me too. Yeah.
But do you know, there's another director that was just like that. Jon Favreau, man. That dude is one of the most brilliant directors in cinema today. Oh, and shit. I will say it.
What movies?
I said it before because I said it when we were doing the Star Wars episode. Yeah, because he wrote all the Mandalorian.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But Jon Favreau, I'll go down. He did Iron Man. He did The Jungle Book. The live remake. He did The Lion King.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like he's brilliant. And then I just think of the movie that I first ever saw Jon Favreau in, and that was PCU. You ever see that movie?
No.
It had like Jeremy Piven and David Spade, and it's like a college movie. And Jon Favreau had like dreadlocks and stuff, and he was his character was called Gutter. he did Chef. You ever seen that movie?
No.
That is my favorite movie of all time right now, actually.
Oh shit.
Is Chef. And he plays a guy. It's actually modeled after Roy Choi from LA in his food truck. Oh, it's so brilliant. I just pulled up his list. So he did The Jungle Book, Chef. He directed some of The Office, that movie Cowboys and Aliens, Iron Man 1 and 2. He directed Elf. I mean, okay. Come on. Yeah, Elf is fucking brilliant.
That's great.
Zathura, whatever the hell that is. The Orville, I don't know. That's like a TV show or something, right? Yeah, and then Jungle Book 2 coming out. But he's a brilliant director. And I just think about, like, I just have to go back American to what Beauty. I was thinking about. American Beauty. I was like the first mindfuck, but that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about how Jim Carrey is just like a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that dude is so brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
So brilliant. And then the opening of Dumb and Dumber 2, like, dude, come on.
I don't think I've seen that yet.
You haven't seen that yet?
One, I know. Isn't that fucked? I know.
And I won't spoil anything for anybody.
Please don't, because I need to see that shit.
I didn't see the second one.
That's what he just said, Joe.
I never saw it either.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll shut up.
Yeah, I'm just saying I never saw it.
All right, so here's my pitch, because I think the conversation could go either extremely fucked or extremely entertaining, or both. We should do the next episode with him and Squall.
Oh.
Kind of spring themselves on each other. And then we just moderate and watch the dumpster fire.
I don't know how much they're going to actually, like, fight with each other, to be honest, because
yeah, but I'm an instigator.
They're very different people. I'll give you this. Like, they're vastly different people, but okay, they're both very reasonable people.
Yeah, but you've seen both of them naked, so do you think it would work out?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're down the sword fight again.
Hell yeah, dude. There can only be one, boys. There can only be one, boys.
Oh, all right. So then let's end it on this. If you guys had to pick, who would be Duncan and who would be Connor out of you two?
Oh, fucking nice. Now that's
Duncan and Connor. Who the fuck is that?
The Highlander guys.
Oh.
Sean Connery was Connor McLeod and Duncan.
No, he wasn't. Nope.
Or no, Connor was Chris Lambert.
Yeah, Chris Lambert was Connor McLeod and Duncan McLeod was Adrian Paul.
I hardly even watched the show, to be honest with you. I watched it a little tiny bit when I was, super tiny.
No, we're talking about the movie.
Oh.
Well, there was a movie. Then they made a second movie, which was fucking, like, it was so bad. You could watch it on YouTube for free and it won't even promote it. Like, it won't even be, like, free with
ads. They don't even put ads on it. They
don't even put ads on it. They're like, no one's going to watch this.
Oh, my
just
God.
Here,
that's
here
fucked.
That's how bad the Highlander
is. Oh, shit, he's got it, dude.
Yeah, hell yeah. The first one's awesome. The second one is so fucking bad that They made the third one, I don't play the second one completely.
I don't play.
There it is.
Dude, all my movies are alphabetical. I
love that movie. My God, that's such a great movie.
Hold on, I gotta move a couple things.
After they made the third movie, they're like, let's fix this by making a TV show.
Oh, damn, look at this collection.
They're seven feet tall, 1,500, 1,600 in total.
That's like me and my books.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, dude, I love movies with a passion.
This is Ben. He's like walks in the store, goes, ooh, DVDs, runs over to him. Oh, it's books.
Here's a trivia question for you, Joe.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I have no fucking clue. I don't think I ever saw the whole movie.
Obviously, Matthew Broderick's name was Steven. Because he had the lisp. He's like, seriously, Steven? Like, Jim Carrey's character had a lisp. But everybody thinks, oh, his name was Cable Guy. But what was his name?
I don't know. I saw the movie. I saw a part of the movie once.
Brandon, any ideas?
Not a clue.
Oh, it was Chip Douglas.
Oh, shit.
We're too busy reading books and looking up words in the dictionary.
Yeah, dude. I'm too busy with, like, fucking Black's Law, like, getting, like, massive fucking biceps lifting that goddamn fucking tome left and right.
Oh, dude, I got such good movies. I haven't looked at this collection forever.
You just take Black Laws, put it on your shoulders.
Jesus fucking Christ, yeah.
This was a good fucking movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, what a great name for a movie. Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It was like a new Jackass type movie.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I have so many.
Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah.
Well, look at this. We're not going to get banned this time. I can't believe that your podcast still has all its episodes up on.
Oh, dude, you're just as shocked as I am, dude. That podcast is like fucked. My podcast is fucked.
I mean, I heard the ones you did with Martin and Josh, and I'm like, okay, those were.
What's your podcast called?
It's called the Power of Curiosity podcast, but it's getting changed because fuck that. It's going to be like Burning Dumpster Fire or something now. I'm telling you.
Okay. Oh, dude, God. I just started a new podcast too. It's called the Flap Podcast.
There you go.
I do it with a woman out of Brisbane, Australia, and it's the Farcical Life and Pain Podcast.
Farcical? What is that?
Like a farce? Like it's a joke.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's a farce. Like the entire illusion of. Like,
Ben, you explained to him what it meant. You should have been like, go fuck yourself.
Why?
Because that's what you said earlier about people who don't understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a good example. Like, when you said farcical, for some reason, I got the idea of some kind of, like, whimsical, like, magical shit. I thought it was like a Lord of the Rings type thing that you were doing. Literally, that's what I thought you were fucking talking about.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Yeah, no, and people can go fuck themselves, but I'm not going to tell him to go fuck himself. I haven't read his entire website yet. Once I read it all, and
you're cute, Brandon.
Oh, Ben, are you attracted to me? Is that the secret?
I don't know. Do you have a tractor?
All you gotta do to confirm this is take off your shoe and sock and show him your foot.
No, oh, damn, you got a foot fetish, Ben? Damn, no. Dog. Bro, no. This is getting fucking deep, dude.
You got to hear the episode.
Look, he's getting all fucking like, hell yeah, I like feet.
No, we have a whole foot fetish website.
All right. There's a website. There's a website, or it's an actual app. It's called footfinder.com.
Dude, that sounds fucking fantastic.
Because I go on TikTok and I buy shoes. I buy a lot of shoes. I own because
you got a foot
shoes.
Thing. I understand.
I own a lot of shoes. So for some reason, this site came up.
You're like, sign me the fuck up for that platinum membership, dude. Annual.
Oh, dude, I clicked on it. I'm not playing. I clicked on it. I wanted to see what it was all about.
I'm not playing. We're talking about.
Oh, my God.
So this is an example.
You got a fucking subscriber right here, bro.
This is an example. So this woman is selling this for $22. Okay. It is called Smelling My Stink. It is a 4-minute video of me talking about and smelling my stinky feet.
See, it's shit like this that like makes me feel like there's hope for humanity. You know what I mean?
$22. And that's the picture you got to buy it.
Oh,
to see.
Look at that picture. That thing just entices. Dude, that's an enticer,
does she
dude.
Send out like little scratch and sniffs.
Oh, bro. Yeah. That's what we need, dude. Scratch.
Dude, I got all sorts of crazy shit. This one got me too. And this is the other day at the grocery store. What the fuck is veggie ketchup?
Wait, what?
Tomatoes, carrots, squash, and spinach. No sugar.
So what?
Veggie ketchup.
I'd rather have that fucking foot stank than that veggie ketchup. You know what I'm saying? The stanky feet.
And then I got. Check out this awesome thing with feet.
And then Joe, I was going to show you this.
Veggie ketchup.
Someone told me in Japan they have used panty like dispenser like machines like at hotels and shit. Like you go buy a Coke, but you'd hit like D13 and you get like the pink panties and D13 and it like has a little thing and it like feeds it out.
He went to Japan.
Yeah. Does Trinity like Peppa Pig?
Yeah.
Do this for her.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's amazing.
500 piece puzzle and just put a whole bunch of bacon in the box for her.
She'll eat the bacon right up.
It's no fucked problem. Up. Yeah, I went to Japan. You could feed deer like squirrels. They just come up and eat out of your hands.
Fuck yeah.
That's really cool.
And the food is badass.
Actually, Fire Island.
I don't really care much about deer or food. All I care about is the used panty machines.
Dude, there's machines for everything in Japan. Literally. You go to Disney World, there's fucking vending machines for anything you can think of.
Jesus.
Like, it's ridiculous. On the other, can you imagine, like, the used panty machine? On the other side, there must be, like, a thing where, like, if you donate a pair of panties, it slips you out some bills, right? Like, you get.
Don't you have a used panty machine at your house?
Ooh, fuck yeah.
Your washing machine?
Well, I mean, that's another story.
Oh. Uh-huh.
But then, don't you have that, too?
No, I don't wear underwear.
Commando, dude.
In your house?
I don't wear panties in my house.
Where do you wear them?
You're missing out, dude. You're missing out.
I don't. I don't wear them at all. I don't even own any.
No. I have a pair right here on my microphone.
Oh, yeah? Oh, shit. Look at those grape smugglers.
What the?
Yes, don't tell anybody, though. Don't tell anybody, though.
You just told all our viewers, all six of them.
I know. You guys have a small base.
All six.
You guys have a small base. So we'll just keep this between ourselves. This is our pact.
This is our pact.
Joe, how does he know you have a small base?
Oh.
Oh,
there can only be one. Oh.
How close did you guys have to get to each other to sword fight? Just out of curiosity.
Pretty close. Actually, let me see if I can pull up the video. I'll even
can you guys do screen here. Sharing on this Zoom thing? Because
Joe can.
Well, you could do a screen share on YouTube. I could fucking find that shit.
Yeah.
You got it already?
I found it already.
That was fast, damn.
I just typed in my name and sword fight, and I got
Joe's a father. He doesn't have time for bullshit. He's just got to get straight to it.
Everything's serious.
Don't even worry about taking your pants off. Just get to it.
Right, there you go.
Optimize for video clip. And here we go.
Oh, shit.
All right, here we go.
Oh, this is it, dude.
This is before it got finished being cleaned, the garage.
It was only like halfway done at this point, so you can still see all the fucking
we
trash.
Were amazed at how
who is that in the white shirt?
That's him.
That's me.
Oh, you were bleach blonde?
In my younger days. No, I don't. No.
No, man, it's just the lighting.
Exactly the same as now.
The lighting. It's garage lighting.
But we you'll were see. Amazed you'll see.
At how much space was in the garage at this point, so we decided to have a sword fight.
Okay, we are recording.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Joe, I love how your gut just falls out the bottom.
Oh shit, dude. Was that it's not gay enough. Look, it's not gay enough. Look. Talk about good placement, boys. Dude, good placement.
What are you watching on YouTube?
Oh my god.
What are you watching on YouTube that was your next video suggestion?
I don't know.
No, our video is not gay enough. Thank you, YouTube. Sword fighting. I mean, yeah, of course, sword fighting. That's probably the fucking keyword that triggered it. You know what I mean? Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Ooh,
okay.
All right. If we end on that note, we can just be fucked forever, dude. Let's just end it there, Titans.
If I don't know, I'm Ben. Thank you guys so much, and have a wonderful night. OneStupidFuck.com.
Yes, dude.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, go check it out. Oh my god. Just remember that sword fight was not gay enough.
Actually, before we go, you should screen share my website, dude. You will fucking die. I want to see Joe fucking just die right here.
Oh my god. I think that was enough for me.
No, Joe, you will literally fucking die. Like if you go out of my website right now, dude. I want to see you fucking.
I had it up already. Let me see. I'll tell you what. Maybe we'll do that next time. It'll be great.
Yeah, because you guys have to go. You guys have kids and all that shit. So
yeah,
you got to do your thing.
Really appreciate you coming on tonight. And
yeah, guys, it's been fun. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. You're nice to meet you.
You too, man.